good to partially see you this evening. You're looking good in your masks. Feels good too, doesn't it? I was noticing how many of you have beautiful eyebrows. That's what I'm doing when I'm meeting people. I'm like, I got to know them by their eyebrows or something like that. So, but I have a bit of advice. Fellas, listen up. Fellas, gentlemen, this is your time. Okay? If you're ugly, wear your mask. And then up your eyebrow game, and then just let your personality shine forth. It's your time. Don't miss the opportunity. It's good to see you. I'm having a hard time recognizing people, right? Because I can't see most of your face, which is a way to get into this gospel, right? Isn't it hard to recognize Jesus in this gospel? Like, what's going on with him? You know, we have a mother whose daughter is tormented by a demon, which seems to be exactly the type of thing that Jesus would be interested in fixing. But he acts in a really strange way, doesn't he? I mean, his response to her is at the very least strange. And then it's kind of off-putting. And I don't know if you'd be completely wrong at first glance to say, man, he's being rude, right? He calls her a dog at one point. So what's going on? What's up with Jesus, right? Well, there's always something more going on. What's happening in this gospel is actually a very beautiful spiritual formation. It's a spiritual itinerary, and I want to talk about that tonight. So, first of all, a detail that might not matter much to us but would have jumped off the page to anyone in Jesus' time is that this woman is a Canaanite. She's a pagan. She's not a Jew. And that means she doesn't know who she's talking to when she encounters Jesus. That's crucial. You know, maybe she had heard about him because word of him would have spread, you know, this great miracle worker, this powerful man of God somehow. Maybe, honestly, she was just desperate. Think of a mother and the love she would have for her daughter. And she's like, anybody, if he can help, great. I'm going after him. What should I call him? Lord? Sure. Son of David? Whatever that means. Maybe she had some good spiritual instincts. Because St. Augustine says our hearts are made for God. Even pagans, even people who don't know God, there's something in them. Their soul is made for God. Maybe it was those things. We don't know. But she doesn't know who Jesus is. And keeping that in mind actually helps us a lot in understanding why Jesus acts the way he does. Okay, so I want to trace three of her moves in this gospel. So we hear, behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out. In the Greek, it's actually way stronger. A better translation would be, she ran and screamed. So imagine that. She runs and is screaming, have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. She is running and screaming, causing a scene. If someone came into this chapel right now running and screaming, you wouldn't sit like you're sitting looking at me right now. You'd react. You would turn your head. Some of you would physically move. You'd probably make some noise. She's running and screaming. It's a scene. What does Jesus do? But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus is silent. He is silent. Silence. It's awkward, isn't it? You're like, please say something, Father. This is getting strange. We're really tempted all the time, and especially in this day and age, to fill the space of silence with something, with anything. How many of you, the moment you wake up, you turn on music, right? Or you're listening to something, the moment your head hits the pillow, noise all the time. That's not good for our souls, by the way. But Jesus is silent. What does that mean? Is he ignoring her? Does he not care about this poor mother who has a really deep need that Jesus could actually do something about? No. His silence is different. See, his silence changes the whole scene. And it's not because he's ignoring her. He's actually drawing her. He's bringing her in because she doesn't know him. She wants him to do something for her, but she does not know him. Jesus' silence changes the scene and changes her. Because watch what happens. The woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." See, now she's not running around screaming. She's not desperate and flailing all over the place. But now, because of Jesus' silence, she stops. She physically stops. She came and did him homage. Maybe she knelt. Maybe she prostrated herself. But she has stopped moving. And then she says very simply, "Lord, help me." That's a great prayer. If you don't know how to pray, come into the chapel sometime and stop moving. And then, in simplicity, say, "Lord, help me." That's a prayer that will get answered, I promise you. See, Jesus' silence draws her into a place of simplicity, even adoration. Now she's doing homage to Jesus, who is God. That's good for her soul. A relationship now is starting to be formed. By the way, friends, that's why chapels and churches are mostly silent. When you come in here to pray, it's quiet. There's a reason for that. Because Jesus' silence, it's not the absence of something, it's actually the fullness. He draws us in the silence. So don't be afraid of silence. In fact, seek it out. Now more than ever. Now more than ever in these crazy days that we live in. And watch what happens. Now that Jesus has calmed her down, she's not running around screaming. He's calmed her down, and then he engages her directly for the first time in the gospel. He says, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." Well, that's a strange statement, right? He compares her to a dog. Last time I checked, if you're comparing someone to a dog, you're not holding them in high esteem. But watch this. See, what's he actually doing? Jesus isn't insulting her. We don't get the details because we only have the words, right? Jesus is not insulting her. When I prayed with this week, I always thought of Jesus as saying this to her and then winking at her. He says, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." And then he gives her a little wink because he's teasing her. He's drawn her into a relationship, and then he says, "All right, I know what you want. How bad do you want it?" And she takes the bait in a good way because she responds to him, and she says, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table." All right, now they're engaging. It's a little back and forth. And Jesus, who knows her, Jesus, who loves her, Jesus, who wants to do what she's requesting, but won't do it outside of relationship, he's bringing her in even deeper, even deeper. And so she responds back to him. And you know why I know that Jesus wasn't insulting her? It's because of what Jesus says next. He says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Now, let me give you a cool detail. I was working through a commentary. In all of the Gospels, all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, only 5 times does Jesus exclaim, "Oh." That word, "Oh." He only says it 5 times. It's only found 5 times in all 4 Gospels. 4 of the 5 times are strong condemnations from Jesus. So he says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I endure you?" He says that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's 3 of the 5 times. And then in Luke's gospel, as the disciples are leaving Jerusalem after the crucifixion and going to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking along beside them, they have no idea who they're walking with, then Jesus says, "O foolish men, how slow of heart you are to believe all that was written of the Messiah." That's 4. All 4 of those are negative condemnation from Jesus. But then there's this one. "Oh, woman, great is your faith." This is God himself who is moved by her. By her persistence, yes, but also by her love. See, God isn't distant to us. He's not coldly observing us. Heck, the whole move of the incarnation is him wanting to be close to us, wanting to give us the deepest healing that our hearts long for. And he is moved by her faith. He delights in her. "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you. Just as you ask, just as you wish." And the passage tonight finishes, "And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour." You see, she got what she wanted. She got what she wanted. Her daughter was healed. But listen now. She got even more than that. Because at the beginning of this gospel passage, she didn't know who Jesus was. And at the end, she knows him. Not just as a powerful man who can bring healing. She knows him as her Lord and her Savior, and even more, as one who delights in her. Friends, that's the relationship that Jesus opens to this woman, but also to each and every person here tonight. See, Jesus wants to do great things for you. He does. He wants to do great things, more than you could even imagine, more than you could fathom in your mind. Jesus wants that. More than you want it for yourself, Jesus wants to do great things. And he wants even more than just doing great things for you. He wants you to know him. To know him in a vibrant and personal way that changes your life, that transforms everything about your life. He wants you to know that he delights in you. You're not mistakes. You're not broken projects that need redemption and fixing. You're people that Jesus loves. Each one of you. He delights in you. Now, to get to that, listen, we'll probably have to make a journey a lot like this woman, where Jesus moves us from where we're screaming and running around in like desperation. Does anyone care? Does anyone know? Will God do anything in my life? I have these giant problems. He'll move us from that to a calm, to a quiet, to a place where we can actually do homage, where we can adore him as Lord. He'll settle us down and bring us simplicity, simplicity of heart, peace of mind, because that's what he does. That's what's available to you and to me a real relationship with Jesus. But then watch what happens. After that, once that relationship is established, we can be bold like this woman. We can even be playful with Jesus like this woman, who knows that she's going to get what she's asking for because he loves her. That's the relationship. That's what's available to you and to me. We want to take full advantage of that. What an amazing gift. So let's say yes to Jesus tonight. Each one of us. Let's say yes, each one of us. He's going to draw us in to his love right now, tonight. We don't have to wait. We don't have to earn it. He draws us in. And then we can do that not just individually, but even collectively as a faith family at Carroll. Like, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if this year, in the COVID era, with masks on and everything else, we could move Jesus to say, "Oh, Carroll, great is your faith." Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, let's give it a shot. Let's take Jesus at his word, that he actually loves us, that he delights in us, that he's real and he's drawing us into real relationship. Each one of us say yes to the gift tonight, and then all of us together say yes to that gift. Let it be done according to Jesus, and let that great adventure of relationship with him begin.